You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Hoffman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up to Nahariya, down south, Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Holon, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review, check us out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts, check us out on Twitter or X, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew, we deliver to you both. We also have the Hebrew WhatsApp group run by the maestro of the Hebrew website, Moshe Halichman. Lots of good stuff. We had an interview with Jake Cohen this past week, of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv. We had a great article that the Sports Rabbi put out about Serge Ibaka. He made his, return to a Maccabi Tel Aviv home game the first time since 2011. The Sports Rabbi was at that game when it was with Real Madrid. You can check that out. Plus, we have all kinds of stuff about the Israel national team. They have four games in 9 days, beginning with Kosovo on Sunday night. There's interviews with Sean Weissman, Netel Avi, all kinds of different players, previews, all kinds of good stuff as well. And of course, this program, we're going to be talking first off with Ben Pask. We're going to bring him on board, talk about all the latest news in the basketball world. If it's Maccabi Tel Aviv with their victory over Bayern Munich, Hapoel Tel Aviv with their loss to Paris, the rest of the Israeli basketball scene, and then we're going to have Roy Jankelovich of Israel Sport. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk all about the Israeli soccer scene. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa, both in UEFA European action on Thursday night. We're going to go over those games, plus the national team. We'll preview that as well. Tons of good stuff, so make sure you check us out. But first up, we're going to bring right on board Ben Pask. How you doing there, Ben? What's going on, baby?
Josh, thanks for having me on board. Great to talk about basketball at a time like this, and especially after a Maccabi win.
I was just listening to myself speak, and I sound so much more, I guess, alive, more with it. And I know, about 5 weeks ago, I was doing this podcast, the first one after the war started, with Benny Eisenhardt, who plays for Ashkelon in the Lumit League of basketball. We both sounded like, ghosts. It was pretty brutal. This week it's been kind of getting really, I feel a little bit back to normal. I think last week was a tough week. We spoke about that on last show. Things are kind of coming together, and it's been, I guess, a positive week. In the sports scene, we've seen the return of the soccer league. The Sports Rabbi was interviewed on numerous outlets abroad, a couple places in Belgium, as well as in Switzerland, talking about the Israeli sports scene and, of course, the upcoming Israel soccer national team games as well. But Ben, let's get right into Maccabi Tel Aviv. They are 93-90 winners over Bayern Munich in a home away from home game in Belgrade at Pioneer Arena, the same hall that Maccabi Tel Aviv won their 1977 first ever European championship. The Sports Rabbi and Dove, the photographer, were actually in the Pioneer Hall. We did a little photo expose a number of years ago when we were in Belgrade, and we got to see Maccabi Tel Aviv not play there, but at the Stark Arena, the bigger 18,000-20,000 seat arena. But Maccabi Tel Aviv back in Pioneer. Also coming back was Wade Baldwin. He looked a little rusty, but he was pretty good. 12 points for him in 25 minutes. But overall, Bonzi Colson came up with big baskets, big three-pointers when they needed him. 19 points for Bonzi. Lorenzo Brown, 15.7 rebounds, but I think the big stat, 7 assists, but the big stat here was only one turnover. And I think Lorenzo Brown looked very cool, very calm, very collected, had a very, very nice game. Jocelyn Rivera with 12 points, Timur Blatt with 11 points, going 3-for-4 from three, looked terrific. List goes on and on. James Webb with 8 points. James Webb looked like the James Webb that Maccabi Tel Aviv knew they were signing. A couple three-pointers. Maccabi 10-for-26 from three, but they looked just good all night long. Josh Nebo forced in the paint, 7.6 rebounds. Jake Cohen had a very, very good start to the game with 5 points right off the bat. Roman Sorokin, a couple points in about 10 minutes. Antonio Sklivan, 4 points in 9.5 minutes. And then John DiBartolomeo, not sure what's really going on there. No points in 11 minutes, only played 2 minutes the last game. You know, he did a little pregame talk that was put out to the media. I don't know. He just doesn't look like the John that we know of. And it was interesting that, you know, he as the captain did not speak to the media in that special session this week. It was Jake Cohen that did. Over at Bayern Munich, of course, Serge Ibaka playing, 16 points for Pablo Lasso, 17 points for Carson Edwards, a dozen points for Leandro Balmero, a player I really like, Devin Booker, 11 points. But I got to say this, Ben, I think we can all agree, if this game is held in Yad Eliyahu with 10,000 fans, Maccabi wins by 20-something points. Bayern Munich is not a good team.
Not at all. Ibaka, obviously, is the biggest name that they have. Booker was also pretty good from watching it and not looking at the stats. Because I go through their stats, they're not really that good. Even looking at it, they're not as dominant as I thought that they were just watching it on the TV. But the crowd is the sixth man on the court for Maccabi when they play at Yad Eliyahu. It's a big absentee at Maccabi home games. Right now, every win is even more important, especially the home wins when they're playing in Belgrade. So it's good to see them get a win. But looking at it, we spoke about Wade Baldwin. Came back, he had his 3 assists, but he had 6 turnovers, and he's rusty. He's been out for a few weeks with his injury, so it's great for him to be back and get the minutes. And I think the winner is us for having him back. I don't want to use the word loser, but the downside of it is Cleveland had under 10 minutes on the court, had 4 points, and he's more of a defensive player. That's why he's there. But if you look at his minutes in other games, it's gone down from, I think his last game he had 17 minutes scored.
Right, that's 14 points. But that's going to be natural. James Baldwin, of course, Baldwin coming back.
No, of course. I just think it's just to note it. It's inevitable. It's not an overall bad for the team, but just for him personally, because he's starting to become, at least in my crowd of friends, a crowd favorite. People are loving his defense and effort. So it's just a shame for him, but at the same time, it's great for the team, and he's doing what he needs to do still. Sorkin, John D, they're really definitely not what they were last year. It's, no, I think, it's a question of what has the war done to,
John, mentally. You know, John was really good in Panathinaikos. He was great, and they won the game because of John Di Bartolomeo. But I know since that game, he's been a shadow of himself. Maybe he's nursing an injury. You know, it's possible. He may be nursing an injury. Maybe he's not playing 100%. They're just keeping that quiet. You know, we're not around the team. It's pretty odd when you have a press conference and there's Serbian journalists that are at the press conference. And, the Israeli journalists are sitting at home. I mean, it would be nice if they'd put us on Zoom for those press conferences, perhaps, to ask some questions or to have, more access with the players that we would normally have, but it is what it is. We're very thankful, though, that Jake Cohen spent, about a half an hour of his time with the media this week on Zoom, so that was really good. But listen, Bayern Munich, this game in Yad Eliyahu, Maccabi Tel Aviv kills them by 20. There's, not even a question about it. They're a lousy team, and not having fans in that building is brutal, because at the end of the day, what happens is that Bayern went on these runs. Like, Maccabi would open up around a 9-10 point lead, and then all of a sudden it would go down to 3-4 points. They'd open it up again, and then we saw near the end of the game it just started, going down and down and down. And I was sitting there on Spilkas, and we were all sitting there watching the game, like, oh my goodness, like, they're not going to blow this game, right? I mean, like, what is going on here? And they get it to, they get it to 85-84 with 2:46 left. With Serge Ibaka hits that couple points, and then Lorenzo, just fantastic, steals the ball, goes in for a layup, opens it up by 3. Then Lorenzo with another 2 points off another steal, back-to-back steals for Lorenzo, and then he opens up to 5 with 1:51, and that was kind of like the end of the game, because Wade Baldwin hits a couple of free throws, and it's 91-84. But then again, 1:07 left, Devin Booker gets a couple points, and down to 5 again. Then Rivero hits his 2 free throws, which is good. Rivero's been better than advertised, no question there. And then Serge Ibaka puts another 2, so they're down by 5 with 38 seconds. But, they couldn't get that separation that they would normally get, and that's going to be their biggest challenge, Ben, going forward.
For sure. Lorenzo Brown, I think it was his last points that he scored, had such emotion on his face. And yeah, I think partly, obviously, it's as a competitor, as a basketballer, doing well. But I just feel like that energy that we would see, he would get from the crowd as well. Even though the crowd wasn't there, he had that. And it's really great to see him and other players being able to, as draw on that energy that's not their present, but you know, they're doing it, what they need to do to get the wins, obviously, for them, but it's great for the crowds as well. The defense at times is, you know, sloppy. They're not as focused. It's something that Oded Kartash spoke about a lot last season, about needing to maintain the focus, and they just have these, you know, brain farts or lapses in concentration where they let a team get back into the game, and against a team like Bayern, it's manageable, but you know, other teams
next
are not going to be able
Let's just go into next week here, Ben. Like you said, it's not going to be manageable against other teams. Who do they have next week? Olympiacos on Tuesday, and then Fenerbahce most probably is going to be playing. They're going to switch home dates, and they're going to play the home game in Pioneer Arena. So Maccabi will have two, quote-unquote, home games. But let's be honest here. Olympiacos, who are not as good as they were last year, that's clear. Without Kostas Lucas, they are not the same team. Without Sasha Vezinkov, they are not the same team, but they are still very good. And Bart Sokic, their coach, always seems to have Maccabi's number. They lost last night by a point in a pretty devastating way against Baskonia, and they had a big win. Of course, they welcomed back Bradovich as their head coach. So you're looking at the situation where Maccabi is going to have to play Olympiacos. It's a very good quality team. And then they have to play Fenerbahce on Thursday, who Yamadar is going to be playing there. And then Scotty Wilbeck is going to be playing there. And Tyler Dorsey is going to be playing there. And the list goes on and on and on. Itudis always, has trouble, gives Maccabi Tel Aviv trouble. Not the last year he did, but he seems to always give trouble. They're also coming off a loss against Partizan Belgrade, 85-84. They also lost by 1 point. This is a good team. You interviewed last year Jonathan Motley, he's a good player. Jorgis Papagiannis, a good player. Nigel Hayes-Davis, a good player. And these are all good players. What do you see them coming out with this next week? And there's going to be, again, no fans. I don't know. I mean, this is a rough go for them here, Ben.
It's a rough week, and I think given that their home team games, they really need to get both of them, assuming that the Fenerbahce game is flipped. But I think honestly, 1-1 in the current circumstances would be, I don't know if I'd say a win, but a pass. The advantage is, and what advantage they have is that it's a double week. Maccabi doesn't have any league game at the moment, obviously. Fenerbahce, I assume they've got a league game as well coming up before the double week. So
right. Hopefully
I'll be rested. One thing I think is a good time to bring it up. I was listening to, I think it was Maccabi Ball podcast, and someone said, why is it that Israel Maccabi has to switch its home games because of the security situation to another country? Whereas Fenerbahce in Turkey, they can't have the Israeli teams for safety reasons or for whatever other reasons. Why is it that Maccabi has to switch their home game to have it at home, which isn't actually at home? Why isn't the league forcing Fenerbahce to host it somewhere where it's safe? And I'm saying that because it's a disadvantage to Maccabi that they're going to have the home game in Belgrade, which is going to be a benefit to Fenerbahce if it's switched around. And then later in the year, we'll have to go back to Turkey. It's just I think worth raising. We're talking about the sport, obviously, but it's
so. I heard that too, and the argument is ridiculous, and I'll explain to you why. I think the argument's absolutely ridiculous that the person was making on that podcast, and I heard the same thing. And the fact is that who put out the travel warning?
Israel.
Okay, so that's the answer. you can't sit there and blame Turkey. Israel put the travel warning out. Israel, we did. We put the travel warning out not to go to Turkey. So we're supposed to. It's not up to them. We're the ones that put as a country, we put that travel warning out. So it's our problem, not Turkey's problem. I'm sorry. I totally disagree.
Israel put a travel warning to people from Turkey not to come here, or is there a ban on people officially coming here?
No, there's no ban.
I don't think it's as black and white as that. I think it's worth at least a discussion or a pondering. Not that it's actually going to happen, but it's frustrating that Maccabi is playing home games in Belgrade in a closed arena because of security, and it
sucks. We all know it sucks. But again, I listened to that, and I was actually power walking when I was listening to that podcast, and I almost went crazy. Because we are the one. I mean, again, this is just my opinion. We as a country put out the travel warning that Jews and Israelis shouldn't be going to Turkey. So that's the answer. We shouldn't be going to Turkey. So you know, if we're saying, what Fenerbahce is doing us a favor, in my opinion, by actually allowing us to switch the home date. They're the ones that are doing the good. They could say, you know what, tough. You don't show up, you're going to have to forfeit the game. Tough luck. They could easily do that.
Fair point.
They could easily do that. I think that they went ma'alu me'ever. I think Fenerbahce, the fact that any team decides to switch these games, I think is doing well. And I'll tell you this, and I mentioned this, I was interviewed by a Swiss newspaper this week about Israel-Switzerland. The fact that Switzerland decided kindly to allow Israel to postpone the game, and eventually UEFA made the decision, but Switzerland right away, and the Federation said at the beginning of October 7th, like, okay, we know you can't play this game, we're going to push off our game. It's to Switzerland's disadvantage to now have to play three qualifying games against the Israel national team instead of two. I mean, I think I said the fact that Switzerland did that, I said they deserve a ton of credit. They deserve a ton of credit for doing that. All these teams, we shouldn't take it for granted that these teams will say no, because back in the day, there was forfeits. Back in 2004, Valencia refused to come to play in Israel. They had to forfeit a game. There were all kinds of things back in the 70s as well. So I think that any of these federations or teams or clubs that are changing home games or that are coming towards Israel and Israeli teams, I think they should be thanked, and we should be very, very thankful. Right now, that is the situation. That's the Sports Rabbi's two cents on that. Of course, we're on here with Sports Rabbi Josh Hoffman, Ben Pass, wrapping up the Israeli basketball. Ben, let's head over to Apollo Tel Aviv. I don't think we have to spend very much time on this game. They lose 114-87 to Paris. They did not have Jacobin Brown. They looked like they were a done team. I mean, they just looked, with or without Jacobin Brown, Danny Franco said there was no way they were going to win this game. They looked just out of sorts. They had fans in the arena in Paris. There wasn't an issue. So you got to give credit to the Parisian police that they were able to handle any type of protest, unlike London, who were afraid to have fans the week before. And listen, Apollo Tel Aviv were 4-0, and they played a team that was 5-0. And the 5-0 team beat the 4-0 team, Ben. Paris is the better team.
100%. And Apollo Tel Aviv overall, I think, is a good team. They've been very good up until now, but their opponents really haven't been at the level, and they've come up against a worthy opponent, and they really brought them back down to earth. Again, the same considerations as Maccabi. You've got a team that's really, and they're not at home. They don't know exactly who's flying back and forth and who's staying overseas, but it's a difficult situation, and coming up against a better team, it's always going to be more difficult in these situations to win or even get close.
I mean, listen, the fact that they're 4-1 after five games is I think that it should not be taken for granted. And something that if you would have signed on the line on October 8th, that's where they'd be right now, they would have signed on the line. TJ Shorts, 15 points. Colin Malcolm, 23 points. 20 points. Tyson Ward, 13. Nadir Hi-Fi, or Hi-Fi, whatever you want to call him. For Hapoel Tel Aviv, 20 points for Jalen Horde. 15 points for Tomer Ginat. Again, Tomer Ginat has been playing great basketball. He comes to play every single game. He was, once again, really good. Brian Angola, 13 points. The one player that I really want to make mention here is Kyle Alexander. 12 points, 5 for 6, 6 rebounds. I thought this was the first game he actually looked as advertised, Ben. I think this is the player that they were expecting to get.
Yeah. Finally, I mean, looking at his previous performances, even the preseason, he was a relatively absent, let's say, from what was expected. But he is, overall, only 4 points against London. He got a double-double against Hamburg, but he's now looking like he's a bit more comfortable in the lineup as well. And that's natural when you've got a player coming in, a new player coming into the team. So hopefully he can continue and build on that for Hapoel Tel Aviv and they can bounce back.
Next week, they have Promete. Promete right now is 2-4. They've got to be a little disappointed with the start that they've had this season. 2-4 is not where Nano Ginzburg, of course, Israeli coach, thought they would be seeing Promete right now. They're in a tough situation, Promete, without a question. They are a team that has talents. There's players like Caleb Agata, who has played in Israel, obviously. And he's a very, very talented player. Marcus Keane, a very good player. Isuf Sanon, who got a run in the NBA, he's there. Alexander Lipoyev, he's there as well. 2-4 is not where they want to be, but that's going to be a tough game. Not going to be an easy game. They play their home games in Riga, the Ukrainian side does, because of the war there. So it's kind of like the nomads facing the nomads. And I would expect that Hapoel Tel Aviv is going to win that game. I think they'll be back to normal with or without Jacobin Brown. I don't think it's going to make a difference. But Promete has not been good, Ben, so far this year.
Nah, not at all. So a good opportunity for them to bounce back.
Yeah, for sure. Hapoel Jerusalem, 84-66 winners over Benfica in Portugal. This was a weird game that had a huge break at halftime. There was a problem with the 24-second clock, and I think the game was delayed for about 40 minutes. And I think nobody was interested in that, especially when the game ended around 12:30, 12:40 at night in Israel. The game started 10 o'clock at night. Not exactly what they had thought was going to be there. Hapoel Jerusalem, another tidy victory. 18 points, Levi Randolph, 14 points. Morris Endur had a very good game, 11 points. Zach Hankins, 10 points apiece. Speedy Smith and Chris Johnson. Yovel Zussman was 7 points, 6 rebounds. So that's what you want to see from him. Or Cornelius, only 4 points, 2 for 7 shooting. Brinton Lamar has been a disaster so far. 2 points, 0 for 5 was not good at all. Carrington with 8 points for them. Over in Benfica, the sports rabbi did an interview with Ivan Almeida. Almeida played for Nahariya during the Corona COVID season. Good guy, got to speak to him. You can read that interview on sportsrabbi.com. He led the way with 18 points over there. And Trey Dreschel, also a very good player, 14 points. But they, you know, listen, Benfica is not exactly the top of the top of the basketball Champions League. Paul Jerusalem is now 2-0. And Ben, they have a game coming up at PAOK, which is not going to be easy. PAOK, any team in Greece is not going to be fun. They're going to have a tough time there, regardless. PAOK, there was a warning put out by Hapoel Jerusalem before the war. We're talking about in September, that fans should not travel to that game in Salonika. Because they're concerned about issues that could be. PAOK defeated Galatasaray 88-77, then fell to Benfica 94-72. So it'll be interesting to see what is going to go on with the PAOK. Any thoughts on Jerusalem, Ben?
Yeah, no, just the same as the other Israeli teams right now. Kulanu biyachad, biyachad lenatzeach, and we want all the teams to win, no matter what color they're wearing, which city they're from. So hope that they continue to go onwards and upwards in Europe.
Then Hapoel Holon, they did not have a game this week, but they'll be playing Rio Breogan next week, this coming week in Riga, actually. So I think there's going to be back-to-back Israeli teams in Riga. Hapoel Holon had a nice win, obviously, the previous week. Rio Breogan is not a great team, though they do play in the ACB in Spain. They lost their game against Bonn most recently, 86-71 this past week, and they defeated Bursaspor 68-48. So it'll be interesting to see what Rio Breogan's going to bring to the table. They don't have very many big names. Justin Anderson played in the NBA is probably their biggest name. But again, hold on. We want to see them win as well, Ben.
100%. they're all the teams are Israel's teams at the moment, and of course we want them to keep winning. We're going to one-on-one team, and hopefully we can help all Cholon can get on top of them.
All right. To finish off, you have some news about the Women's League, Ben. It seems they're going to be the first Israeli basketball league to come back to action coming up, aren't they?
Yeah, so that's exciting news for any basketball fan. The Women's are coming back to play not next Monday night, but the Monday night after, 20th of November. They're scheduled, subject to, of course, what's happening with the home front command and their instructions. But I think it's very exciting that we're going to have some basketball going on. Even at the moment, teams are continuing to play practice games as we speak now, as we're recording. Ramat Hasharon and Ashdod are playing in a practice game. So it's good to see them all coming back. It's going to be without foreigners, but at least we're going to have some basketball to watch and to cheer on. So anyone who's interested, please, to the extent that fans are allowed in, please go and support the players. They've been doing fantastic things for the country, going to Shvayim to do activities with the people who've been evacuated from down south. They've been doing a lot of online Zoom sessions for people as well. They've really been doing fantastic things. Like the men's as well, would have been expecting to be playing games, etc. But when they're not, they're going out and doing what they can for the country. So we'll put out some information on that on the site and encourage everyone to get around them and support the teams and the players.
Ben, are you going to be going to some games coming up?
I hope to be going to the games. My daughter, my 5.5-year-old, loves the basketball. She's always, unfortunately, whenever we go out anywhere, even just going to daycare, her first thought is what happens if there's a siren? What are we going to do on the way? Where are we going to go, et cetera? So have to think about that. And the closest games to get to, the best way to make sure she's comfortable and we're all comfortable with that. But I do look forward to seeing some live action soon.
All right, there you go. Where can people reach out to you?
And you can reach out to me on Instagram or on Twitter at BPASK85.
And me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com with the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports. This is great. Ben, I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a quiet Shabbat here from the land of Israel. And Roy Jankelovich, he's coming up next. We're going to be talking all about Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa, and the Israel national team, and maybe possibly the return of the Israeli Football League.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back here with The Sports Rabbi. That was a great wrap-up on the basketball with Ben Pass. Now we bring on board, of course, Roy Jankelovich of Israel Sport to talk all about the latest in Israeli soccer news, Maccabi Haifa, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Israel national team, and the rest of the stuff. Roy, how are you doing today? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I understand, as we were just getting on board here, there had been a missile attack into Tel Aviv by our evil enemy Hamas. And what happened with the national team, Roy?
The national team were on the bus. There was a red alert. They got off the bus and they found shelter on the sideways of the Ayalon.
And everybody was okay, I guess?
Yeah, everybody's okay.
Okay, that is good news. Of course, the national team going to be playing Kosovo. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Roy, let's start off with Maccabi Tel Aviv. 3-1 winners over Zorya Luhansk, a game that took place in Lublin in Poland. Dor Peretz, the star of the show, with a brace, a pair of goals, both coming in the first half. Derek Lukasen also with a goal. He was the one that opened up the game, 1-0. They gave up
the
a goal. Yeah.
With the back heel.
It's a cheeky back heel. Yes, that's right, the cheeky back heel. And then Zorya Luhansk pulls a goal back late in the game, but too little too late. Orlando Mosquera, he makes his debut in goal for Maccabi Tel Aviv. Lots to unpack here. Your general thoughts of the game, Roy?
Good game, but not the best rival. So it doesn't mean much, but it means a lot for Maccabi, because Maccabi, if they beat Luhansk in the return leg, they have a good chance of finishing second. But second, we know, in the Conference League does not mean qualification. So
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to finish in first place because Gent right now is, you know, above and beyond everybody else. I believe they have 10 points. Maccabi Tel Aviv was 6 points. You know, if they beat Luhansk again, probably they finish in second at worst case, but they're going to still get a very good opponent, which will be tough to pass. We've seen that in the past as well. Listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv could not have asked for a better first half. You know, was curious to see how they were going to come out and play, and they came out on all cylinders, which is good. You know, Yeah, go ahead.
I must note that all these players were practicing all the time. The Israeli players practiced in Kiryat Shalom. I've seen the social networks, so it's not that they were not practicing. So, but you always say that you need to have a
game,
a fitness of match of game,
match fitness,
gameplay, match fitness, exactly.
Yeah. And that's the most important thing. For sure, they didn't have that
on paper. On paper, they didn't have it, but you saw how well they played.
I mean, in the second half, they kind of put, you know, they were tiring. That was, you know, there was no question, and that's fine. That was to be expected. They did what they had to do. Robbie Keane comes back from his home in Ireland to, you know, to coach the team. Listen, there's a lot of questions still out there. What's going to happen with the Israeli league? There's a lot of criticism being heaped on Keane for not saying a word about either of the fans that were murdered by Hamas, not about the situation that the Israeli people have gone through, not about the situation that the players have gone through. He's kept the politics out even from day one when he was first hired.
Even on his social networks, there's no sign of him being head coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv, but I see all this as part of being Irish. Not that he's anti-Israel, it's that he knows what's going on back in Ireland.
Right. Anti-Israel, he's not, okay? Because if he would have been anti-Israel, he wouldn't have taken the job in the first place.
Exactly.
So that's a very easy equation. Now, the question is, you know, there are a lot of fans that are upset, understandably so, and a lot of media, that, you know, Robbie Keane has not come out and said a word. He could have said, this win was for the, you know, the many our fans that have been suffering for the Israeli people. He was going nowhere near there. Is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? And I've had an eternal debate about it, Roey. I thought about it a lot last night and a lot this morning, how I feel. And I can make the case, right? I think we can both make the case that Robbie Keane, you know, doesn't have to say anything. He's the head coach. He's not Jewish, not Israeli. He's there to do a job. He's there to advance his own career. And he knows that a country like Ireland is viciously anti-Israel and anti-Jewish and pro-Hamas for whatever possible reasons they may want to be pro-Hamas. I guess, you know, they like to support mass murders of 1,400 people and are holding hostage another 240. But that's, you know, that country, they can deal with that. And, of course, we also know the fans of Celtic are in the same boat as that as well. And, you know, obviously any type of move or anything he says is going to be criticized in the media. On the other hand, he's still being criticized in the Irish media for even coming to coach the game. That's number one. Two, I'll say this, and this is where Robbie Keane is wrong, and this is where Mitch Goldhar is also wrong, and this is where Maccabi Tel Aviv is wrong as well. You're an employee of an Israeli team. You're an employee of a team that is also a Jewish team. The country has gone through a horrible, horrible situation that was, you know, that was not, we did not ask for this to happen. And do you want to be on the right side of moral conscience? And the end of the day is, and I wrote an article about this the first week that this whole war started, and I basically said, silence is complicity. And you know what, Robbie Keane, you're complicit. You know, I can't sit here and defend Robbie Keane. I just can't do it. Be a mensch, be a human being. You see what's going on. You understand what happened. You had to race to a safe room the day that you were here, obviously, that morning when the missiles were flying into Tel Aviv. Have some moral clarity here. We know who is morally correct in this conflict right now. There's not even a question. We know who the people are that are bombing Israeli hospitals. We know who the people are that are holding hostages underneath the ground. We know who the people are that are using their own hospitals as weapons depots and as command centers for the evil enemy Hamas. Robbie Keane, your silence makes you complicit in these crimes by Hamas. I'm sorry.
And one more note, if he wants to coach in the Gulf or Egypt or somewhere else, he's finished anyway. I don't know if you've heard Paulo Sosa, who coached in Maccabi Tel Aviv, was a candidate for Zamalek, and he was tossed out.
The second they saw Maccabi Tel Aviv on his resume, they said, bye-bye, we're not interested in you.
So that's why it's either you talk, but he's not given the order. Mitch Goldar is the guy who has to tell him. That's the way it works.
Yep, he's one paying his salary. Now, the question is, you know, that he was asked, well, you know, if the Israeli league starts to play in a couple of weeks, are you going to be coming back to Israel? And, you know, he kind of gave the wishy-washy answer, you know, we'll have to see, blah, blah, blah. We'll hear what they have to say. You know, I don't know what else to, you know, do I think the Israeli league's coming back in 2 weeks?
I think it will.
I think it will, too, because the Toto lottery needs it to come back.
Exactly.
And the TV contracts and everything else, and people want sports, and it's an escape. We saw last night pictures of soldiers watching games all over the country, and
exactly. And we've seen during the week fans of Apoel Jerusalem in Lisbon watching the team against Benfica. Right. So
I think there's, and again, it's much easier, and you know, we didn't really touch much on it today and with Ben Pass, but it's a hell of a lot easier to bring back the soccer league than it is the basketball league. Now, if the foreigners don't want to come and play, so they're not going to come and play in the soccer, fine. They have plenty of players.
Soccer, it's quite clear. Most teams, most of the foreigners are coming back. So,
yeah. And if they don't, there'll be other ones, or they just won't play with them.
Exactly. And they're foreigners, which teams do not want, who do not want to come back. And both the teams and the foreigners are happy not to come back.
Right.
I'll just go into one team. Mm-hmm. They tell Joseph having some problems with Meiron George. He's not responding to them. So he's the only player from Beitar. Besides that Hochko guy who Beitar don't want, he doesn't want to come back. So that's also like a win-win. So, Meiron is a loss for Beitar, but they'll
survive. The issue with the basketball is that when you have a roster of 12 players, which is really only 9 or 10 players because the last 2 or 3 are young and don't play, and 50% of that, you know, 9 or 10 players are foreigners or Americans, then you have a problem bringing back your league. don't want to water down your league.
There's another big issue. You have 4 teams who are playing their games
in Europe,
not in Israel. And their home games are not in Israel. So that these 4 teams will need to get an exemption and a buy into the playoffs. That's the only way they can facilitate the basketball league coming back.
Or they're going to have Maccabi Aleph and Maccabi Bet.
Oh, the good dream of David Pederman.
Yeah, if we remember back to the 2 Maccabi teams. Okay, let's move on from Maccabi Tel Aviv. Maccabi Haifa, they were winning 1-0 over VRL for majority of the game, but they were holding on for dear life. And then, you know, the 80th minute comes and you can see the quality of a La Liga side and a team that is fresh and has been playing overcame that 1-0 deficit. A goal in the 82nd minute, goal in the 86th minute, and that was it. VRL takes
and also
down.
Shelly Kayou saved the penalty.
Yes, he saved two penalties.
Yeah.
And he was good. He was excellent. I mean, and we should note he's a Druze. He's not Jewish. He's Druze. And he did a great job in goal. So congratulations to him. I think all in all, I think the Haifa fans were happy, right? They got to see their team play. They put up a very valiant fight. They played on equal level with a La Liga team for most of the game in an empty stadium in Larnaca. That was at 1,400 balloons for the 1,400 people that were murdered here in Israel by Hamas. I can't. Chances of them, anyways, moving up in the Europa League were going to be slim to begin with. I don't think they were upset with the.
No,
you'd like to win, but you know, I don't think they were. I don't think they were devastated with the result. Let's put it that way, Roy.
Yeah, it was that they were so close to getting something out of the game, but you play 90 minutes and Villarreal have the quality and they're in La Liga.
Right.
That's it.
We should note that two of the Villarreal players refused to stand with the rest of their teammates during the minute of silence for the Israeli victims of the Hamas terror. They should be
one Algerian, the other Moroccan.
Yes, well, Moroccan heritage, I think, or Moroccan descent. So we should note those two imbeciles and anti-Semites and anti-Zionists and anti-Israelis. So we should, you know, obviously want to make note of those two players that, you know, obviously put themselves above their own team in Ilyas Okhamach and Aissa Mandel.
Aissa Mendy.
So those are the two players. Let's get on to the national team now. Israel national team has 4 games in 9 days. They start off in Kosovo on Sunday night. Then they play Switzerland in Hungary, a game you'll be at. And then they play on Saturday night. Romania in Hungary, another game you'll be at. And then finally, they finish off in Andorra, the last game of that four.
Yeah. Andorra.
They have 31 players in camp for this. So they've called up 31 players. A bunch of the players from Haifa and Maccabi Tel Aviv will meet the team in Kosovo. The team, as you said, we're heading to Kosovo. I think that Alon Chazan has a huge headache in front of him with how he's going to manage these games. It's going to be tough because the players are just not in match fitness. I mean, even
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
Those who haven't played, because I have to note that in Shfaim, where the team were practicing now the last few days, they only had 11 players because all the rest were either with the teams in European play, Israelis, or the players who play abroad. And we have quite a number of those.
And the players that have played abroad, there's very few that are actually playing regular minutes.
Fouli
and Yechezkel. They're the only two players. Those really, of the players that are playing abroad right now, Abu Fani, I mean, there's a few players, right? But it's very few. And Alon Chazan has a big headache in front of him because he has to figure out now how he's going to work his
goalkeeper.
Right, that's true. So he's going to have to figure out who he's going to play, especially in that first game. Now, if you're Israel, right, you are in third place right now, and you need wins. You need to get points. And Kosovo, you have to win. That's a game that you have to win. There's no choice. So I would assume he's going to put out his best lineup for that game to try to win it. In Kosovo, Roey. I mean, I can't see him taking any chances. I think he's going to go with his best lineup, and then he's going to, from there, take it one game at a time and see what's, you know, who can play 30 minutes, who's going to be able to play 60 minutes. And, you know, there's going to be five field players that are going to have to play 90 minutes. There's no choice. So,
exactly.
You know, that he's going to have to figure out who those five players are going to be, and he can't play all those five players 4 straight games. And that's where it gets really, you know, really dicey for him. But again, he's got to win that first game, Roey, in Kosovo. I think it's a must-win, because if they lose that game, they can already, you know, pretty much kiss goodbye the Euros. I mean, I know they have three, you know.
Because then they'd have to beat Switzerland. That's
right.
The thing.
And then that's going to already be the second game, and they're going to come in. Even though they have a little bit of a break between that, they still have to travel. It's not going to be simple. There's a lot of security around them.
But they have a sort of training camp in Hungary, so they're leaving immediately after the game. So
now, listen, anything's possible, right? That's why they play the games. But
we saw Switzerland Belarus, so even Switzerland, it's not impossible.
I have to give credit both to Kosovo and the Switzerland federations, and I mentioned this earlier in the show with Ben, that both of these federations, agreed to. To postpone the games back in October. They didn't have to. They could have fought it, but they both agreed to it, and they should both be commended, both of those associations and federations, for doing so, because they're also putting their own future of the Euros at stake, because they're each playing an extra game now that they didn't have to play. So I have to credit them, and I just wanted to, say that again in this program, that that's obviously something good. Listen, Roey, how do you think the Israel national team is going to come into that game in Kosovo? Are they going to be ghosts like we saw Maccabi Tel Aviv play Valencia? Are they going to have an emotional roller coaster? How difficult is this going to be? We saw Maccabi Tel Aviv that against Valencia, they were literally ghosts on the court. And then they, you know, knocked some sense into them and were able to play really well against Panathinaikos. But then again, the week later, they were back in Monaco and they were ghosts again. That's my fear for the national team now. Do you think that is fear is unfounded or not? I was interviewed by a number of outlets, and I kind of used the basketball as a litmus test on this, you know, how they're going to react. But I'm not 100% sure. Maybe no. They will come out on, you know, on full.
I don't think we can compare the two, because Maccabi Tel Aviv is an American team, and this is a team of Israeli fighters who know that they it's totally different. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. The core of Maccabi are Americans who don't really know about Israel. And the national team, it's totally different. I think they're going to come out like Maccabi football did yesterday.
But it's also clear, Roey, that they're on emotional roller coasters.
They are.
I mean, listening to the players, there's an emotional roller coaster here. But you have
Zahavi back.
Yeah, and he's obviously, that's the big anchor. Zahavi's going to be the mental coach of this team. I mean, I would assume that there's going to be plenty of mental coaches with this team going forward, just to make sure that they're focused on the task at hand. It's not easy, Roey. I mean, each one of these players, also probably knows somebody that's been killed. They know somebody that's been kidnapped. They know people that are injured. Their siblings may be on the front lines. Their cousins, their second cousins. So, and I see what you're saying. Just my fear is that they're going to come in a little bit, you know, a little bit emotional in that game in Kosovo. I think by the Switzerland game, there won't be those emotions. But I think that first game, for better or for worse, there's going to be some kind of roller coaster of emotions going on. Maybe they're going to be a little bit too emotional. I don't know. But I do know that it's normal in an abnormal time to have abnormal reactions when something like this happens, Roey.
Yeah, there's something in that, but still, I think they'll be able to put that aside after the national anthem and go and get the win. But they're playing a strong rival when you look at football terms, even though they're not so good in this campaign. But it's the key game. The Romania game.
Yeah, I think Lolan Hodzan said it straight. You have to take it one at a time here. And I know that sometimes, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv or whatever team, you know, the most important game is the next game, right? And we all sit there in the press and we all like snicker and like, yeah, you're really thinking about the game after that. Or you're really thinking about the following week. And, you know, it's a lot of lip service. But I think in this case, Roey, it's really one game at a time. I don't think they have any other choice here. They have to watch how they're going to react and play as one game at a time. It's going to be a challenge. I'm going to be very interested to see how this plays out, the game against Kosovo. I'd be very pleasantly surprised to see if they can win. Even in their best day, I don't know if Israel can win in Kosovo. Kosovo is a tough team. But remember, they already drew with Israel in Israel, Roey.
Yep, and that was a strong Israel side with Manor Solomon, if I remember well.
Mm-hmm. No, it's how do you think Iran Zahavi now coming back to the national team? How will that play a factor in the Kosovo game and then going forward for the other three matches?
I think it will only help, because you have now a leader, something Israel didn't have since Zahavi was axed from the team.
Right.
So I think can only do good for the national team. All the players know him, like him. There's nobody there who's not with Zahavi.
Right.
Meaning the players who are not with Zahavi are not
are not on the team anymore. There's numerous ones. So that's for sure. Let's talk about Zahavi for another second here. Who of the other players has the ability to be a leader, or that can move into that leadership role
at the moment,
or even not right now, because we saw that right now there isn't a leader. We saw both he and Beavers Knockout both off. Those were the two leaders. Who has the potential, if it's going to be in a year or 2 years or 3 years, to be the leader? If you had to put your finger on one player. I have one too. Who's your candidate?
My candidate isn't in the team. And that's a good question. Why is he not there?
Okay.
Omri Gandelman. I've seen him in the U21. I think I know why he's not in the team. Something personal with Khazan from under 21 times.
Mm-hmm.
So he's my candidate. And Gil Cohen, another guy from the under 21. And Daniel Peretz, the goalkeeper. Meaning, right. These are my three, because I've seen them with the under 21 in the summer. So I know that they have strong leadership. In the senior team, there's no one really there. Yeah, Gil Cohen, of course, he was called up. So was Daniel Peretz.
Right. The one player that I could see down the road that has a little edge to him is Oscar Gloch. I know it sounds odd, but he has an edge to him, right? I'm not, and this may be down 3 years down the road. He has a little bit of an edge to him. And listen, Zahavi wasn't the Zahavi of today 10 years ago, 15 years True. Ago. So I see a little bit of that. But I definitely agree with you. Like Daniel Peretz, Omri Gandelman, like whatever. These, I don't think Omri Gandelman should be on the team right now. It's kind of interesting. Nobody's talked about that at all. That's a good point that you brought up. You still have to have a little bit of politics, huh?
Yep.
That doesn't matter.
So he's the one who's left out, but he'll be in the national team. It will happen. He's not speaking about it, meaning he knows that it's all up to people or in the team, because we saw he wasn't under 21.
Yeah, but no question.
It's also maybe due to the fact that there's so many players on his position, if you think of it.
That's also true. You're going to be heading out to Hungary next week. What are you looking forward on that trip? There's a lot of media that's going to be out there. Right now, there is some media in Kosovo, we know in Pristina. Motu Bachowski of Sport 5 is there right now. What do you expect to see there in Hungary? We know they're playing in a small stadium. Talk a little bit about what your thoughts are. Also leaving the country at this time and, really traveling with the national team in what is, much more than a game right now.
Seeing them from close, that's what I'm looking forward to. And seeing a senior national team doing two games in such a short space of time. Also, all the practice, security, all the things around the national team. And also, it's a different time to leave Israel.
Right, no, for sure.
It's not the same like COVID.
No, 100%. And I remember, just to bring back, when I traveled to Osijek, Croatia, how much security there was with the national team. I flew with the national team. How much security there was with the national team. How they were the ones controlling also the security, the Israeli security controlled all the entrances to the stadium, which obviously will be the same case in Hungary.
I saw all of this in Georgia with the U21. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like a rematch, except that then there was no war. That's right. The big difference.
So it'll be very interesting. It'll be very emotional. Any final thoughts, Roei, before we wish you a Shabbat Shalom here?
Let's hope for the best for the national team against Kosovo and then all the games following.
All right, Roei, where can people reach out to you?
People can reach out to me on Israel Sport, www.isport.co.il, on Twitter at Roei J, R-O-I-J-A-Y, and on Facebook and Instagram, Roei Jankelowitz, R-O-I-J-A-N-K-E-L-O-W-I-T-Z.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Make sure you check us out all over the place. It's great. I'm actually watching a video right now of the national team running towards the wall on the ILON after they had stopped during the sirens that just took place a little while ago here in Israel. Roei, I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a quiet Shabbat, and I want to wish you I'd say Shalom, and have a great trip to Hungary. Bring us home, some victories, and if not, bring us home some great stories. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of emotion there. And maybe we'll be able to hook up at some point when you're there and have you on the show from Hungary as well. Roei, want to wish you and yours Shabbat Shalom here from Jerusalem.